Good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
We worship today as members of the Swindon Old Town Partnership of Churches and with our partner church at Highworth. We trust that you will all enjoy our service, and if there are any visitors today, please make yourselves known to us. And the final word on that is, before you go, make sure you enjoy a cup of coffee in the hall after the service, which is there for your delight. Our reader today is Wally Knight, and our service is led, led by Jeff. We look forward to that. All the notices are as on the weekly news. You'll be glad to know that I have nothing further to add, except that I now will light the Christ candle and the peace candle while we take a few moments in preparation for our service.
Good morning. I was expecting a lot fewer this morning. In fact, there was a little bit of conversation in the choir. Not many in church today. Well, of course, it was because of last week. But actually, you turned up in pretty good numbers, I think. So well done, everyone. We spend just a moment in quiet, remembering God's presence with us now. Let us be still. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. Amen. Amen. Our opening hymn, Great Hymn of Praise from Rejoice and Sing, number 104, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Thank you.
So we come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, on this day, we come once again to worship you. We come to proclaim your greatness and declare your goodness. We know that you are a loving and caring God. And we thank you for your love that constantly surrounds us. We thank you for all the blessings we have received in our lives and for the wonder of your world. We thank you too for the hope we have through our faith in Jesus Christ. And we know that you are a merciful and forgiving God. We come this morning to confess once again that we know we have not loved you or one another as we really should. So we come to confess those times when we feel that we have failed to appreciate each other and your many gifts. In a moment or two of quiet, we bring some of these thoughts to you now. Lord, may we hear your word of forgiveness. We come in faith and trust this morning. We've come to pray for ourselves and for one another and for our hurting and troubled world. We've come also to bring the concerns of daily life before you and to lift up our loved ones and the people that we know and the many we don't into your presence. We've come too to commit the affairs of our world into your hands. So, Lord, we offer you this time of worship. We offer our praise, our thanksgiving, our confession. Touch our hearts with your living presence and fill our lives with your grace, so that our love for you may grow, that our faith may be deepened, and our service strengthened. Lord, hear this our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Saviour, and our friend. And hear us now as we pray in the words he taught his disciples and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We sing our second hymn, also from Rejoice and Sing, number 97, King of Glory, King of Peace.
Thank you. The reading this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11, and then verses 27 to 31. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. And now from verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Wally. The choir now sing the anthem, well-known words by Charles Wesley, "Ye servants of God, your master proclaim." This is to a tune called Pandaborn, an 18th century tune arranged by Henry Coleman. Ye servants of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the thoughts of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, what a great time we had last weekend, didn't we? There was a wonderfully uplifting service, followed by social gathering with masses of food and drink, with speeches and presentations and people getting to know each other just that little bit better. And that was all, of course, as we said farewell to our beloved Minister Robert after 16 years of service. 16 years! I mean, can you believe it? I was nothing more than a teenager when he came. He was one of the longest serving ministers that Emmanuel's ever had, although I'm not quite so sure about Highworth, whether you had a longer serving minister.
One in the 18th century.
One in the 18th century, there you are. I knew Highworth would beat us on something. There was last week, I thought, both great happiness and, of course, occasions tinged with a little bit of sadness too. But that's a natural thing, isn't it? Now Robert is gone. He's retired. He has left the building, as they say. And as we know, the two other United Reformed Church ministers in our area are also retiring, God bless them, within the next few months. Gerald England, who was with us last Sunday, he goes in August from Emmanuel Hayden Wick. And Sarah Simpson, the minister of Cricklade, Malmesbury and Royal Wootton Bassett, well, she goes earlier in June. So the entire North Wilts area of the United Reformed Church is ministerless. And I thought to myself as I started to write this message that it's at a time like this when perhaps we could hear that question asked by Buzzy, Flaps, Ziggy and Dizzy, the four vultures that appear in Disney's animated film version of Jungle Book. And they say, what are we going to do? Says Buzzy. I don't know, asks Dizzy. What are we going to do? Flaps and Ziggy join in and ask the same question. Yeah, what are we going to do? Then a few ideas are suggested. So there they all are, sitting on this branch of a dead tree, seemingly getting nowhere, just asking the same question over and over again. What are we going to do? And Mowgli, the man cub, as he's known, walks past, looking pretty miserable. And suddenly, the four vultures, they've got an idea. And in close harmony, not akin, well, not unlikely, I think, sounding a little bit like the Beatles, they start to sing. We are your friends to the bitter end. They sing it in a sort of barbershop style, and it goes, when you're alone, who comes around to pick you up when you are down? When you're outside looking in, who's there to open the door? That's what friends are for. So in the end, you see, after all those, what we're going to do, those silences and those sighs, Buzzy, Flaps, Ziggy and Dizzy have discovered that they've got a purpose after all. A gift. The gift of friendship, which they could share with Mowgli. At last, they saw meaning to their lives. You know, one of the most important gifts an ordained minister is tasked with is to interpret how the messages contained in the Bible can be just as relevant today as when they were first spoken or written down. That's why I chose that reading from Paul's letter to the people in Corinth at chapter 12. Paul has already identified that there are problems within the church and the followers there. So he wanted to strengthen their faith and their resolve, and to offer some solutions. He wanted to highlight what he thought was the most important thing about the church. He wanted to teach believers how to live for Christ in society. And he wanted them to settle their differences, to agree on their role and their purpose, their mission, if you like, so that by all clubbing together and heading towards the same goal, they would be really much, much more effective in helping to show the life of Jesus lived out in their lives. And by doing that, of course, they would bring about, hopefully, the kingdom. Paul recognized, of course, that everyone is different, but he continually emphasized that it was only by acknowledging each other's differences that the gifts given to an individual could be used by the church as a whole. Thus, of course, that was strengthening the ties that bring the church together. Paul couldn't be with them, so he actually put things down in writing to help try and sort things out. He compares, as we know in that reading, the body of the church to a human body, pointing out that each part has a significant and very important function, absolutely necessary for the body as a whole. Even though the parts are different, of course, it's only when working together that the body is able to function absolutely fully, efficiently and well. Now, of course, you don't need me to tell you that the church is made up of many, many different types of people, coming from a variety of backgrounds with a multitude of gifts and abilities. I mean, you've only got to look around here this morning. I know lots of the gifts and abilities that you possess, and you probably know a few of mine. Every one of you here this morning will be using or have used your gifts at some point in the not-too-distant past, or will be using it in the not-too-distant future. I'm absolutely certain of that. I've so often heard folks say, of course, I don't really have a gift to speak of. But we do, you see, friends, we do have a gift. We most certainly do. Just think about it for a moment. There's gifts we can use not only in the service of the church, but out there in society where we live and work and play. And I'm sure we do that sometimes even without thinking. I mean, there are practical skills some people possess, not so much me, but some. There's listening to people when they want someone just to know that they matter. There's gifts of music and dance and sculpture and art and poetry and literature and creating ideas or thoughts which can inspire others. Flower arranging is one of those, of course. There's the gift of dealing with finances, not just in the church, but perhaps helping somebody to fill in a complicated form, financial claims form for whatever reason. Of course, there's the gift of prayer. And the gift of speaking out when others don't want to. And there's that wonderful gift of tenderness, which is expressed in holding someone's hand by way of assurance and showing that you care for them. There are some who possess the gift of optimism, believing that anything is possible. And there's two names that spring to mind here immediately who've just passed away, both of them. One was Sir Peter Beale, the eternal optimist. And the other was little Eileen Wilkinson, who some of you will remember, helped out in Sunday school, in luncheon club, and every year wrote a lovely, in beautiful handwriting, letter to the choir, thanking them for their musical contribution they'd made year on year. But she was always positive when I used to visit her, in not only in her home, but when she later was in a care home. And I'm conducting her funeral this week. I once read a quote that said, "The greatest gift to a child is the parent's gift of a listening ear and a loving heart." The greatest gift to a child is the parent's gift of a listening ear and a loving heart. That's worth bearing in mind. It doesn't only apply to a child, I don't think. Of course, there's also gifts of administration. That's mentioned in another section of Paul's writings. administration and fundraising and all those sorts of things. What about the friendly smile? That doesn't cost too much, does it? Or doing a bit of shopping for a neighbour. Or making a phone call to someone who lives on their own. There's also the gifts in the church of reading the Bible lessons, leading the prayers, welcoming people at the door, and so on and so forth. There's working or supporting local charities, which I know some of you do. There's being on a committee, which is helping to bring about change, either inside or outside of the church. Now, I want to more or less end by telling you, I want to tell you a story, which makes me sound like Max Bygraves, anyone who's ever heard him. But I'm going to embarrass one person in this, and I do apologise because that person's here this morning. However, a few years ago, Liz and I were having folk around our home for a garden party. So it was on that morning, when we were busy, that I decided, in my infinite wisdom, of course, that the stink in the kitchen was smelling a bit. So I pulled all the straight and U-bends and S-bends out that connected to the sink and the dishwasher and everything else. I do remember thinking I should put 1, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3, knowing where they connected, but I didn't. I threw them all into a bucket, and I'm a very good cleaner of dirty things. But when I decided to put things back, I was in real trouble. I didn't remember which was 1, which was 2, which was 3 and 4. And when I started trying to connect things, well, the air was pretty blue, I've got to tell you. I had my head under the sink and my bum sticking out. Liz was going, "Why did you have to do this today of all days?" Bless her. More frustration, beginning to lead actually to real anger and panic, when Derek and Glenys Walker arrived early to help set things up in the garden. Derek saw the state that I was in, and he said, "Come on, out of the way, let's get the job done." And it was done in 5 minutes. I was really annoyed at how easily he did this job, and I said, "It really frustrates me, Derek, that you come in and do the job just like that." "Do you remember, Derek, you put your arm round me and you said, 'But I can't play the organ like you.'" See the differences for different people? Anyway, I'm sure you've got what I'm trying to say. We may not have a full-time ordained minister at our helm at the moment for a while, maybe for a few years, who knows. But we are non-conformists, you see. As a non-conformist denomination, we believe that all are ministers, every one of us are ministers, because that comes from the Latin meaning servant. And I hope we all are servants and see ourselves in that light. You see, because if being a servant was good enough for Jesus, it's got to be good enough for us, hasn't it? Got to be. And we, you and I, are all servants in Christ. We hold on to the fact that we believe in the priesthood of all believers. So I beg you, never underestimate your gifts and the role that you can play, especially at this time when we have no minister at the helm. One last thought. The strength of any building pretty much relies primarily on the firmness of its foundations, the cornerstone in particular. So if, as the body of Christ, our faith is able to withstand all manner of storms, let's each in our own way, friends, use our gifts whenever we find ourselves and whenever we see ourselves with that gift we can offer in that situation. That then helps not just us to grow, but it can help others to grow as well and feel valued. Then, as one body in Christ, unlike Buzzy, Flaps, Ziggy and Dizzy, we won't have to ask, "What am I going to do?" or "What are we going to do?" Because I reckon between us, we have the answers, because we've got the gifts we possess, and using them for the benefit of all. We may not have a minister, but we've still got a ministry, to each other and to this church, to this community and beyond. So, we know what we've got to do, don't we? Amen. Shelley's in the limelight now because we're going to sing Rejoice and Sing 371, Take My Life and Let It Be.
These are our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. On this, our first Sunday of our ministerial vacancy, we pray for the challenge and opportunity for the new beginnings ahead of us, for open minds and fresh starts. But first, as always, we should pray for the massive events in the world. Although we feel like a tiny voice, we have a job to do, and that is to pray. We also need to look for the small things we can do. We need to be aware, and we need to be a channel for God's love. We are not likely to be unaware of the war in the Middle East when we have been hearing the news in the media. And in addition, there have been times when we have heard and seen the heavy planes that leave Fairford and fly out over our heads to cause who knows what destruction. Lord, our hearts break, wondering who and what is at the destination of these flights. We pray for them. We pray for the aggressors and the victims. We pray for peace and justice in this unbalanced, violent world. We pray for those working towards reconciliation with honesty and love in their hearts. Likewise, we pray for those whom we do not understand, whose motives we do not comprehend. Let us also not forget the innocent caught in the midst of these troubles, those in Iran, Lebanon, Israel, and other Middle Eastern states. We remember those who claim that none of this is in their name. We think of those in the US, the Hawks and the Doves. Lord Jesus, our Mother, our Father, we pray for firm resolutions. We pray for peace. Let us also remember those caught up in other conflicts around the world, those in Ukraine, Russia, Iraq, Sudan, Myanmar, Somalia, the list goes on. Comfort those who have lost their homes, families, livelihoods, friends, and health. Help us to turn swords into plowshares. We pray for peace. Nearer to home, we pray for the upcoming election. We live in hope that those selected will be loyal and dutiful members of our councils and play their part in renewing our town for the future. We pray for those in government that they will act honourably and selflessly. We remember Heidi Alexander. We think of those on the edges of our society who feel overlooked and marginalised. May they be reassured that they are valued and loved. Help us to treat each person we meet equally with respect and fairness, regardless of their background. As we open our hearts, help us to be honest and allow us to reflect God's love for all. We pray for peace. We remember those who are unwell, those who are anxious or lonely, those in pain, and those who fear for their future. We remember those around us, those who sit in this same building, those who are unable to join us, and those who have never joined us. In the silence, we bring their names to you. We pray for those who care for friends or family, for the weight that rests on their shoulders and the confusion of what may lay ahead. At this time, we remember Robert as he starts his new life, not knowing the details of his future. We pray for peace. So we turn our minds to our future here at Emmanuel. We pray for imagination and courage to seize opportunities that come our way. It has been said that when one door closes, another door opens, but we do have to step through that door. We do not need to feel abandoned, alone, or adrift, because the Lord is by our sides. Nothing has changed as far as God is concerned. Help us to look inside ourselves and ask not what is going to happen, but what can I do? Open our ears and eyes to see the path ahead. Let us pray for our new start, for the way ahead, for the changes and opportunities. Again, we need to look for the good and the exciting. There is a road ahead, full of possibilities. Today is like a new year. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm on your face and the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. We pray for peace. Amen.
Amen.
Some wonderful prayers, Liz. Thank you very much. I got a lot from that. We now make our offering. Loving God, bless these gifts we bring before you, and use them as we pray you will use us to help bring about your kingdom in this place and beyond. In the name of Jesus, who gave everything for us, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And we share the grace with one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. I always think I lose about a quarter of a stone when I'm doing both jobs here, on and off the organ and up in the pulpit, but I'm kidding myself, obviously. It's a change of book now, the orange book, Emmanuel Worship Book, and number 49. Just now we sang about ourselves, take our lives and let it be consecrated in all sorts of ways. This hymn actually says the sort of thing we should never be afraid to tell others about, because it's we have a gospel to proclaim.
Proclaim the gospel, not just through words and deeds, but through what you say, what you do, and who you are. May others, as they meet you, meet with Christ and know his living presence for themselves. Amen.